Matthew 11, verse 28. I just told my preacher's class, when you approach a text that you've read 1,000 times, try to read it like you've never read it before. You've never seen it before. You've never known it before. Dr. Vance Havner used to speak about one of the more dangerous things regarding Christianity is a careless knowledge of Christ or an early knowledge of Christ whereby we know Jesus, we know the things of God's Word, and we just take them for granted, or we don't think through them anymore. We don't think through them anymore. Occasionally, my wife will say to me, "Do you love me?" We were on a date on Friday night. She says, "Do you love me?" Now, she knows that I love her. And sometimes I'll say that, "Honey, do you love me?" Now, what are we trying to say? What are we trying to do? Aren't we trying to, in essence, capture that expression like the first time it ever crossed our lips? Old fella said, "I don't need to tell my wife I love her. I told her 10 years ago, and I haven't changed my mind." You remember the first time your wife told you that she loved you? Or remember the first time your husband told you that he loved you? Oh, how special that was. How special that was. Do you remember the first time that you really got a hold of some of these scriptural principles? How they revolutionized your life. But now, we've memorized them, we've quoted them, we know them. And they just don't mean too much to us anymore. I came to this text this week because God had laid a particular subject on my heart. And I was going to preach on burdens. What do we do with our burdens? And when I came to this text in Matthew chapter 11, I came for help. And I found help. I came for comfort. And as was interesting, I tried to forget everything I thought I knew and looked at the verse afresh and new. And I came for comfort and I left with conviction. Because what I came to the verse to find, I did find. But also found what Jesus really meant by what he said. Now we're going to start with comfort and end with conviction. So enjoy the first 2/3 of the message, all right? Matthew 11, verse 28. Now, let me stop myself before I read my text. I am using a King James Bible as I read the Word of God this morning. Amen. My estimation, there is no other Bible. Amen. But every once in a while, I quote something, Brother Conrad, that I have just crystallized in my mind. And everybody looks at their King James Bible and says, "Huh, I wonder what kind of Bible he's using." Well, he's using a King James Bible. But sometimes I misquote it. I can blame it on a lot of things. Don't think I can get away with old age yet. Just had eye surgery. I'll try that one. But really, last week, I messed up. I flubbed. And so let me be really careful. Bring it in real close as we read Matthew 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, can you say that with me? Matthew 11, verse 28. Begin. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a wonderful promise. Now, I see three things in my text this morning. First of all, I want you to mark down there is a universal appeal. Come unto me. Matter of fact, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden." If you study the word "come" in the Bible, you'll discover an invitation of God, a gracious invitation from Almighty God to come unto Him. The word is first found by way of invitation in Genesis chapter 7 when Noah has completed the ark and God says to Noah and his family, "Come thou into the ark." And of course, we know the ark was a beautiful picture of salvation, for it had but one door in, and God alone was able to open and shut the door. And the ark had but one window that looked towards heaven. God said to Noah, "Come thou into the ark." Did you know that the Bible ends with an invitation. The gospel of the revelation of Christ in chapter number 22, the Bible ends with an invitation for sinners to come to Christ, if you can find it. The Bible says, Revelation 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 18, God says to the prophet Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be clean and white." We have the invitation, this desire of an almighty God for us to come unto Him. Now, isn't it interesting here? We have the Lord Jesus in His earthly ministry. We have a Jewish peasant of 30 years old who has not a bed on which to lay his head, who has not a throne upon which to sit, who does not have a boat in which to float. He doesn't have a tomb in which for his lifeless body to be laid. But this Son of God who laid aside His heavenly glory, when you see Him walking the streets of dusty Jerusalem and in the Sea of Galilee, you think nothing of Him, but He that has nothing earthly upon which to lay His claim says to the weak and the weary, He says to the tired and the poor, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I could not help but think of the dual nature of the man, Christ Jesus. He, as a man, says, "Come unto Me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." But He, as the Son of God, said, "And I will give you rest." Boy, there's many people, aren't there? And many, maybe, addictions in this world that tell us to come unto them and they will give us rest. But I'll tell you, there's no rest like His rest. There is no burden bearing like His burden bearing. I see a universal appeal. Notice the word again in verse 28, "all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, there's some people in Christianity that just don't quite understand that word. But I want to tell you what the word "all" means. It means all. I mean, everybody that is weak, everybody that labors, everybody that has a heavy burden, there is a universal appeal, "Come unto Me." But notice the second truth here. There's a unique approach. For there is in this verse, there are two types of people that labor and are heavy laden, and two types of people that need the rest of Almighty God. First of all, I want you to think of those who labor or are loaded down full of cares. Yes, they are invited to come to Jesus. Matter of fact, that was the reason I came to Jesus here to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Those of us that labor and are heavy laden. Now, these are two different ideas here. They that labor, this is an active term. Those who are fatigued through carrying this workload through life, they labor and they're tired and fatigued. He says to that one who is actively fatigued and worn by the struggles of labor, He says, "I will give you rest." But then there is this passive attitude. These that are heavy laden, the one who cries under this burden of maybe bitterness or feelings or passions, he is heavy laden. Now, there are times in our lives where we're burdened, we're discouraged, we're distressed, and it wasn't our workload. It was not the things going on in our lives. It might have been an emotional thing that got a hold of us. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I'm just down a little bit, and don't ask me why. I'm not sure why. I'm just heavy laden. Now, we work and we labor. We know that there's a fatigue to that, but just the cares of life, they run us down, don't they? And the struggles that we face when Paul is writing to the church of Corinth and he is describing his resume, 1 Corinthians 11, and he talks about being beaten and spending nights in the deep and being imprisoned and fasting often and perils of water, and he goes through all of that, and he says, beside all that, the care of all the churches. What is he saying? He's saying he was just heavy laden. Not that we did something to get to that point, just the cares of life were weighing heavily upon us. And Jesus says to this one who, through labor, through the struggles of life, is bearing a heavy load, He says, "I want you to come unto Me and I will give you rest." Isn't it wonderful to know that we can cast our burden on the Lord and He sustains us? You say, preacher, how do we do that? Well, we do it through faith. Looking unto Jesus, we cast our burden on Him. Here's a verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. Casting all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. Not to set it at His feet, not to wrap it up and institutionalize it and put a bow on it and place it at His feet. The word means to throw it, to cast it, to rid ourselves of that burden. And so when we see the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, He's talking to those who are distressed by the cares of life. Maybe it was a bad doctor's report that brings labor and just that heavy load upon you today. Maybe it's a relationship in your life. Maybe it's something that we cannot fix in our own strength. Maybe it's a financial load that's upon you. And Jesus says too, no doubt in the presence of His disciples, fellas, I want you to know that I haven't just chosen you so that you might do my work. I've chosen you so I can work on you, so that I can bring good things into your life. Jesus has called us to minister to us. Think about that. He, in a sense, serves us as His children. And He says to these disciples, if you have a burden, if you have a care, if you have a need in your life, I want you to come unto Me and I will give you rest. Now, that's what we ought to do. Sometimes we take our burdens to our friends or our parents. We take them to maybe our siblings or our rich uncle. I don't have one of those. If I found him, I'd go to him, but I don't have one. But I am adoptable. If there's any rich uncles after there, I will be your nephew, and I'd be happy to do that. He says, come unto Me. Come unto Me. I will give you rest. There are times in a Christian's life when what he really needs is to get in the presence of Jesus and let Jesus carry his burden. The old song said, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. He says to you, come unto Me. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. But there's a second group here that Jesus is speaking to. The presence of the Jews that were working for their salvation, who were under the load of the Mosaic Law, the rites and rituals of the Old Testament. Those that were seeking to labor for salvation, who were heavy laden with the burdens of that which they could never righteously fulfill. He says to them, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Those who were laboring for their righteousness but were yet still heavy laden with guilt and despair that their soul could never righteously be saved by Almighty God. Jesus says even to them, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I say to you this morning, the gospel that Jesus preaches here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 is still as pertinent and relevant and real and powerful today as it was the day He gave these awesome yet simple words in Matthew 11 verse 28. If we would come to Him and look to Him, not to ourselves, we can be saved. Jesus says to the Catholic who labors for forgiveness in the confession booth, admitting his sins to a corruptible man who himself needs the forgiveness of Almighty God, Jesus says to that one, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says to the Islamist who makes a pilgrimage to Mecca but never a pilgrimage to Calvary, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says to the Jehovah's Witness, whose faith is in a Jesus he has been told is really Michael the archangel, who mingles faith, good works, and obedience in order to earn his way into God's heaven, Jesus says to him, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says to the Hindu who washes himself in the Ganges River to atone for his sins and hope for a better life in his next reincarnation, Jesus says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Jesus says to you and to me this morning, laboring but still heavy laden with the burden of our sin, if you would come unto Me, come unto Me, come unto Me, and I will give you rest. There's no salvation in any other. Only Jesus can save. And brother, He lived the righteous demands of the holy law. You know the sin that's weighing you down this morning, that sin that you've committed, the guilt that weighs you down, because of your violation of God's holy law, I have good news for you. Jesus never violated that law, but he kept it for you. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Now here's a word that troubled me. Rest. I speak first of all of a universal appeal. He says, come unto me, all ye. He speaks of a unique approach. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And now I want to speak to you on this subject, an undisputed answer. I will give you rest. Now I want you to circle that word in the 28th verse, and I want you to think about it for a moment. Rest. What does it really mean to rest? Maybe your burden today. And we struggle to know, how can we cast our burden on the Lord? I want that rest. The fact is, I'm not sure you want that rest because I'm not sure you, like me, know what that rest really is. Elijah, remember, he goes into the wilderness. He flees from Carmel to Jezreel, and then Jezreel all the way into the wilderness, and then he leaves his servant behind and he goes several days' journey into the wilderness. And he's not praying for physical rest. For if you hear him pray, he's talking for eternal rest. He says, I only am left, and they that seek my life care to take it away. Lord, it's enough, it's enough. I'm not better than my fathers. And the angel of God appears to Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 19, and serves him bread and water, and he says, you better eat this and arise, because the journey's too great for thee. What Elijah thought he wanted was physical rest, but what he really needed was the rest that Jesus is speaking of here in our text. Now the word rest here speaks of ceasing from work, the cessation of labors. Now, I want you to, we're going to go to two places. First of all, I want you to go with me to Revelation 14, please, in verse 13. Now, what Jesus is not talking about here is eternal rest. One of these days, we're going home. Amen. All we do is nap down here. We're going to rest. Work, for the night is coming, for the night cometh when no man can work. The Bible says in Revelation 14 and verse number 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, notice carefully, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Brother, there is an eternal rest that we're headed to as believers. But when Jesus says to us here, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, that's not the rest he's talking about. You say, preacher, what is our Lord speaking of here? Now go with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Matter of fact, if you like words, you ought to study this word rest in your New Testament. There are a number of words from which this English word is translated. Now, when Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 11, he's speaking of refreshment. He's speaking of repose. If you close your eyes and go to the most relaxing scene in all the world, you think of rest. My wife and I would think of a house where the children are not outside screaming their heads off. They're at your house screaming their heads off. Amen. That takes me to my happy place. But there's a greater rest than that. Come unto me and I will give you rest. There's a kind of rest that I need. It's a kind of rest that you need. And it's only found in Jesus. What the writer of Hebrews is speaking to these believers in regards to is spiritual rest. Now they had the same problem that Jesus is addressing in Matthew 11. This works-based religion of trying to do enough and be enough and say enough and give enough in order to incur the favor of God. I want to read several verses here, if I may, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. There's the danger. Let me just say quickly, you enter in faith, you exit in unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore, here it is, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10 is important. For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, you might want to circle the word rest in verse number 9. There is a rest to the people of God. There's a rest. What is this rest? I want that rest. When I'm burdened and heavy laden, I want that rest. The cares and trials and tribulations of life began to seize upon our heart. We need that rest. Where do we find it? You say you just need to get out of town. Go somewhere for a few days. Get away from the trials of life. I want to tell you, that's not going to fix this problem. There is a rest in the midst of the fight. There is a rest in the midst of the struggle. There's a rest in the midst of this burden bearing. And only Jesus can bring it to us. For what we didn't get to in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, let me clarify something I thought. I thought Matthew 11 verse 29 was talking of a double yoke. A double yoke means that me and Jesus are yoked up together and I'm just along for the ride and he's pulling all the weight. Now, no doubt, I don't want Jesus as my co-pilot. Somebody say amen right there. He needs to pilot the whole ship. But that's not what he says. He says, take my yoke upon you. That means that if I, through faith, accept him as my Savior, verse 28, I come unto him for rest. That means that I submit to his authority in my life. I take my burden and I follow after Jesus. That's what he said. Read Luke chapter 11. There is no such thing as discipleship and a man not carrying a burden. He said, if a man won't bear his burden, he can't be my disciple. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 6, he says to us as believers, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And then he says, every man must bear his own burden. What does that mean? That means there are burdens in your life that I can help you bear, but there are some times in our life that we have to bear under the yoke of our discipleship with Christ and just get in the yoke and begin to charge for the glory of God. In other words, I can't live the Christian life for my kids. They have to bear their own yoke. It's like in Exodus chapter 14. He says to the people at the banks of the Red Sea, with the Egyptians charging behind them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. They can hear the hoofbeats of Pharaoh behind them. They can see the waves of the water beside them. They can see the perils to the sides of them. And God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This rest I'm talking about, it fills our soul when the bullets are whizzing by our head, when the fiery darts of the wicked one are coming our way. There is a rest to the people of God. Now, what is that word in verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 4? In the Greek, it's the word Sabbath. There is a Sabbath, a rest. When my God stepped out on nothingness, he began to breathe. And he breathed the world into existence. He created the greater light to rule the day and the lesser night to rule the night. And oh, by the way, he created the stars also, trillions in number. By the way, don't worry about paying your light bill. He created 6 trillion stars. And then he filled the seas with teeming life. He filled the airs with teeming fowl. He filled the forest with teeming beasts. And then God stepped back and said, I want to create man in my own image, after my own likeness, and have fellowship with him. And then God takes the rib out of Adam and creates a woman. And when he steps back and sees the whole panorama of creation, he says, it is very good. And God does something for himself and for us. He Sabbathed. He rested. Did God rock back and forth in a heavenly hammock, sipping on heavenly lemonade, wafted by heavenly palm trees to refresh his fatigued spirit from his creative work? Of course not. He gave us an example. He ceased from the labors of the 6 days. It doesn't mean he reclined, he rested, he reposed. It means he ceased from his labors. If you were to go to Calvary with me for a moment, John chapter 19, verse 30. Jesus has cried maybe 5 or maybe 6 expressions. The last 2 expressions of the cry from the cross are these. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. Now the word there means paid in full. Tetelestai. An artist in the first century would work on a painting. They'd come in and they would make touches on it. They'd step back and they'd look at it. They'd make a few corrections, and then they'd step back from it. And when it was exactly as they envisioned it to be, that artist would cry out, Tetelestai, it is finished. When a banker would receive an installment upon a loan and the last payment was made, they'd take that Greek stamp, stamp the bill, Tetelestai, it is finished. When our Lord went to Calvary to bleed and die for our sins, he cries from the cross with that last breath emanating from his soon-to-be lifeless body, Tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. And then he Sabbathed. He ceased from his labors. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now think for a moment about Calvary. Did Jesus have more to accomplish for our salvation? No. Could anything have been contributed to his salvation? No. Could anything have been taken away from his salvation? No. When I understand what it means that he finished his work, I then can begin to understand how I can rest. Now, you're still a little confused. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, when I came to Matthew 11, verse 28, I was looking for comfort. I found it. But I kept digging and I found some conviction. Let me ask you a question. If I have come to him, hear me please. If I have come to him laboring and heavy laden, why am I still under a burden? Didn't he take it away? He said, I'll give you rest. If you really came to him, and throughout the week you're discouraged and frustrated and disillusioned and disenfranchised and disengaged, what happened? Could it be that not that he doesn't know how to carry our burdens, but could it be that we haven't learned how to rest? Look what Paul says, Galatians 2, verse 20. Hear it carefully. Read it with your heart. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, here it is. Yet not I. Yet not I. But Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live, here it is, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, brother, let me tell you what you need. I'll tell you what you need. You need a Sabbath. You need to, let's make a verb, you need to Sabbath in your life. What does that mean? It means you need to cease from your labors. God help us. You and I need to learn how to cease from our labors and allow Him to labor through us. Watch carefully. The purpose is, it's all about us. It's all about us. And it's not enough about Him. Come unto me. Truly come unto me. Did your children ever come to you when they had a need and said, Dad, I need some help? They don't say daddy anymore. They're too good for that. Except when they need money. Can you help me? And you give them instructions. And what do? They don't do what you told them to do. And what do you say? If you didn't want my help, why did you ask in the first place? He told you how to have rest. And you come to Him because you have all these burdens on your shoulders. He already told you how to have it. Now, one more place. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I've noticed something about myself. I've noticed that talking about my burdens, Brother Conrad, never makes them go away. Isn't that interesting? Somebody said, do you want to talk about it? No, it just makes it worse. And God says, you need to learn how to rest. How do I do that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses here. Begin in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, here it is, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. If we'll ever get this, if we'll ever get this, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I learned how to rest. You look at Paul's life and you say, all he had was trouble. Paul said, no, I learned how to rest. Paul, how did you learn how to rest? He says, I learned to stop laboring in my own strength, and I learned how to allow the Lord to live His life through me. Look at it again, verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. There is a rest now to the people of God, but it's not found through trying harder. It's not found through just reading, just go read more of God's Word. I've heard people say, as if a be all end all, we just need to get in church. That's great, but it's not going to fix it. It's when we cast all our cares upon Him and learn to cease from our labors. I hope you're understanding what I'm putting out this morning. To cease from our labors. Trusting our labors. Listen, you know what the easiest thing in the ministry to do is to equate spirituality with the works of the ministry. And so, we begin to chronicle all the things we do for Christ. And I preach 3 times a week. I teach a class at the church. I write an article for the Sword of the Lord. We developed a podcast, and we have a whole schedule of services through our church. I teach 4 hours a week at a Bible college. We go soul winning every week. We attempt to do the work of the ministry. But can I tell you, in all of those labors, there is no rest. Because rest is not found through what I do actively for Christ. It's what I allow Christ to do actively through me. Now you need rest. And Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. And only I will give you rest.